Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he," Jesus, "had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Verse 6, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." In other words, both ships were sitting heavy in the water because of this great catch of fish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Your Word, Lord, their spirit and their life, speak to us today from your Word. God, I believe you have an encouragement for somebody today. Somebody's going to go to another level today, Lord. Somebody's going to leave never enough. Amen. And step over into too much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. What was it that Peter was crying? If you would have been on the shore that day, what would you have heard? You would have heard Peter say something like this: "Help! I've got a net breaking, boat sinking blessing. I've got a too much blessing." Hallelujah. How many's ever said, "I've got too much? I just got a too much blessing"? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." Hallelujah. How many know that most of the time you'll read a package, and on the side of that package, cereal, maybe even chips, it'll say something like, contents may settle during shipping. Yeah. And sure enough, you open it up and you think somebody ate a third of your product. But I want you to know something today. God has a blessing with your name on it, and the contents haven't settled. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, they're overflowing. They won't all fit in the box. Hallelujah. That's what he said. "I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. There'll not be room to contain it." Hallelujah. It won't all fit in the box. And you know, most of us have a hard time, most of the time, believing for a just enough blessing. Just enough to pay the rent. Just enough to put gas in the car. Just enough to buy a few groceries. Just enough to keep the lights on. Friend, that's a wilderness mentality. The wilderness is the land of just enough. Egypt was the land of never enough. Never enough food, never enough health care, never enough of sleep, never enough of what they needed, never enough water, never enough good treatment. It was the land of never enough, but the wilderness was the land of just enough. God gave them just enough to protect them, to keep them, to preserve them, to get them to the promised land. It's better than never enough, but it's not the promised land. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's not the promised land." Now tell them, God wants to take you to the promised land. Woo! And I'm not talking about heaven either. Glory to God, we're going to heaven. But I'm talking about the promised land, the land of more than enough. more than enough. The Lord told me to tell somebody today that He has a blessing with your name on it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that's me.
That's me.
He's got a blessing with your name on it, and it's in the post office. It's been dispatched from heaven, and it's waiting for you to put your claim on it. You've prayed. You've confessed the word. You've worked your faith. You've stood on the word, but you've been disappointed. Oh, somebody I'm talking to today, you've been disappointed like Peter. You've been disappointed. You've been in a disappointing season. Your faith has been disappointed over and over again. You've thrown your nets out over and over again, and it seems like it's all been for nothing and feels like it's all been for nothing. Listen, you've been confessing, working your word, working your faith, but it feels like all that prayer, all that confessing has just been a waste of time. But the Lord said to prophesy in this house today that your disappointing season shall come to an end. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hello morning, hello joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you order something, they give you a delivery date. I ordered things from Amazon, and they'll give me a delivery date. That's your appointment to receive what you've ordered. And the Lord says to tell you, this is your divine appointment. Look at somebody say, this is my appointment.
This is my appointment.
But you say, but Pastor, I've been 6 times already to the post office. And there's no... And there's no sign of my package. I've been 6 times, Elijah, and I've seen no sign of rain. But Elijah said, go again. Glory to God. And then the servant comes back on the 7th time. He said, well, there is a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And then Elijah, he jumps up. He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I tell you something. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I prophesy to you, somebody's drought season is being overtaken by an abundance of rain.
Hallelujah.
If you believe that shout, that's me.
That's me.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord said to prophesy today a new anointing in this house. So I prophesy a new anointing. A new anointing. I said, Lord, He said, prophesy a new anointing. I said, I will. But what anointing for what? He said, an anointing for breakthrough. If you were here the other night, you heard me teaching on breakthrough. A new anointing for breakthrough. And release and supernatural abundance. Oh, come on, put your hand up. Put your hand up and say, I decree and I declare a new anointing for supernatural breakthrough and abundance and release in the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Friend, listen, there's an anointing for every season of your life.
Yes.
There is an anointing for the hard places. There is an anointing to sustain you through the drought. Amen. There is an anointing for your long nights of fruitless labor. And there is an anointing for abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on and lift your hands and ask God today to shift you into the supernatural, into the anointing for abundance and supernatural release. Woo! Whoa, God, shift us. Holy Spirit, shift us into that anointing for abundance and release. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now watch what we're going to find in our text. Now, I did this backwards. I should have built this slowly and took you to Peter's blessing. But I took you immediately to Peter's blessing. And I showed you how good it was.
Amen.
And now I'm backing up to show you how he got there. Hallelujah. Because we all want the blessing.
That's right.
But we all don't want to go through what it takes to get to the blessing.
Amen.
But God wants you to know not only about the blessing, He wants you to know how to get to the blessing.
Amen.
Because if I can help you know how to get to the blessing, you can get the blessing for yourself. Hallelujah.
Right. Woo, woo.
I enjoy watching somebody else get blessed.
Yeah.
I want to see you get blessed. Somebody said, I just get my blessing watching Sister Sisney get her blessing. I just get my blessing watching Brother Kent get his blessing. I just get my blessing watching Sister Judy get her blessing. I just get my blessing watching Brother Frank get his blessing. It blesses me a little bit to see Brother Frank get blessed, and to see Brother Kent get blessed, and see Sister Judy get blessed, and to see Sister Sisney get blessed. But it really blesses me when Brother Sisney gets blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo!
I want to get mine.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm happy when your boats are full. I want to see your boats filled, but I want my boat full too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When Peter got his boat full, he called for partners and said, come help me. I got a too much blessing. I got an overflow. I got an abundance. I want to share it with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus was trying to shift Peter into a new anointing. Now watch this. But he resisted. My goodness, if we just knew how good God is and what he's trying to do, we wouldn't fight him and resist him. Peter said, Lord, it's all been for nothing. Jesus said, get out there, cast your net in the deep, let down your nets for a draw. Peter said, Lord, everything we've been doing, we've been out here all night. And we have caught nothing. See, he's resisting. We've worked so hard for empty nets to show for it. We've prayed, we've fasted, we've confessed your word for nothing. We've got nothing to show for it. It's all for nothing. Friend, look at this. Watch this. Let me give you a revelation. Nothing, say this with me, say nothing,
nothing
is great preparation,
for too much.
Watch this. God will usually always take you through a season of nothing just before the breakthrough into too much.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Now, if you really believe that and you are in a season of nothing, you be shouting right now.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
If you really believe that, because you would know that your too much is just on the other side of your nothing. Where they said there is nothing, there shall come forth an abundance. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God will usually take you through a season of nothing just before the breakthrough into too much. Why would God do that? There's reasons. One, God wants all the glory.
Amen.
He wants all the glory. He wants you to know everything you've done, it was not enough. He wants you to know, and everyone else around you to know, that it's not you. That you are not the Savior. You are not the healer. You are not the deliverer. You are not the miracle worker. He wants you to know experientially that it's the anointing that produces the miracle. He wants you to know from personal experience, from your expended effort that could not produce. He wants you to know without a doubt that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is the anointing that accomplishes the work. Hallelujah. Everybody say the anointing. Say that's what we need. And next, why does he permit us to go through a season of nothing before too much? Here's the reason. He wants you to learn his voice.
Amen.
And because we're hard hearing, he has to put us in situations and times to get our ears open.
Amen.
Because... So God will let us wear ourselves out struggling in our self-effort, doing what we know to do, what we think to do, wear ourselves out until he knows we're ready to hear his voice.
That's right.
Because the next key is obedience. You got to hear his voice and you've got to obey him. So God will wait till you're worn out. How many feel like you're almost worn out? Hallelujah. Then you're in a good spot. Hallelujah. You say, I'm tired. I fished all night. I ain't caught nothing. I am worn out. Peter, you're in a good spot. He will wait till you're worn out, until you got no strength left. He will wait till you wait on Him. Oh, hallelujah. He waits for you to wait on Him, to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit means the Spirit is in front. He's waiting for you, for me, to fall back in line and start waiting on Him. And then He speaks. And usually He speaks a ridiculous instruction. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
don't argue with God.
Don't argue with God.
Now listen, if you want to shift, if you want to shift into a ridiculous blessing, you have to be willing to obey a ridiculous instruction.
That's right.
If you want to shift into a ridiculous blessing, you have to be willing to look ridiculous.
That's right.
Look at all the quiet people. Like, I surely want the blessing, but I don't know about that ridiculous stuff. Now watch. It was a ridiculous instruction for the prophet in the book of Kings to tell a broke, disgusted widow to go and borrow empty vessels, not a few. And then to tell this widow to take the little pot of oil that she had and start pouring into all those empty vessels. That was a ridiculous instruction. But she obeyed the ridiculous instruction, and the anointing of a ridiculous blessing came on her, and she went into supernatural overflow. I don't know about you, but I feel a ridiculous anointing in this house getting ready to fall on somebody. If you want a ridiculous anointing, why don't you just put up your hands and say, Lord, let it fall on me. Woo! Glory to God. Shadalabahaya. Hallelujah. Let it fall on me. Number three, how many want the overflow?
Amen.
How many want that ridiculous blessing?
Amen.
If you want that ridiculous blessing, if you want that overflow, that supernatural abundance, you have to get a vision of abundance.
Amen.
You have to see yourself blessed, prosperous. Most of us don't have any problem seeing ourselves with just enough, barely making it. Just keeping our heads above water, we can see that real good. I know from personal experience, for 7 years, Pam and I fought to keep our heads above water. I felt like I was treading water. I felt like my nose was the only thing out of the water.
Amen.
Now I know I'm the only person that's ever been there. So just say, Lord, bless him. Yeah.
Bless him with more overflow.
Now watch. So I know what that feels like. But I will tell you this. Even while we were going through those situations, we were faithful to tithe. We were faithful to our church. We didn't miss services. But we hadn't got a vision of abundance. We couldn't see ourselves blessed with any more than just enough to pay our bills. We could hardly believe that it could be possible to be out of debt, much less own our own home, drive a new car, have a beautiful 35-foot RV vehicle. We didn't understand there could be a place of prosperity and blessing where you could actually have money above and beyond your bills, where you could sow into other ministries. Then God connected us with the ministry. That ministry had a more than enough anointing on it. An anointing for abundance, and we learned God's prosperity plan. Through the teaching, the preaching, and the example of their lives, we got a vision of ourselves living in abundance. Friend, you have to see yourself in abundance. You've got to see yourself walking in blessing. You got to see yourself walking in abundance. Listen, you walk through the store and you pick up a bottle of cologne and it says something on it. It says $45. You look and you go, woo! And you say, I can't afford that. And you put it down and you walk off. Now $45 sounds like a lot. Some people that ain't dropping the bucket, right? $45. Okay. If you got a vision of abundance, you'll say this. You'll look at it and instead of saying, woo, I can't afford that, you'll say, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Wait on me. I'll be back. Hallelujah.
Amen. You drive by. You see that car? That car. You say, Lord, I need a car. I got this old junker. Lord, it's been good, but it's about ready to die. It's on its last leg. And you see a nice car. You say, Lord, I'm believing for the nice car. And that old boy says to you, says, you can't afford a car like that. And you, with that spirit of abundance, that vision of abundance says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you look at that car and you say, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
You got to get a vision of abundance. You may have empty boats. You may have empty nets. You may have empty cupboards. You may have empty pockets. But you have to see something that isn't there. Amen. That's called faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You have to see yourself where you want to be. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look beyond where you are. Look east, look west, look north, look south. And then he gave Abraham this great revelation. Everything you see, I'll give it to you. Woo! Hallelujah. What he said, if you can see it, you can have it. Amen. Glory to God. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. So this young man was telling me right here before service, he wants to go to MIT. I said, praise God. You know, if you believe it, you can receive it. Amen. Go for it. Hallelujah. God wants the best for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So when the prophet told that woman, get all those empty vessels, he was activating her spiritual sight, her faith vision. He wanted her to see by faith every one of those vessels filled. And when she obeyed that ridiculous instruction, she began to pour what little bit of oil she had into those vessels. She made that little pot of oil her miracle seed. Yes. Everybody say miracle seed.
Miracle seed.
Say, if you want a miracle harvest,
you
got to sow a miracle seed. We all want a miracle harvest, but you got to sow a miracle seed. That miracle seed, that seed, it didn't make any sense what she was doing. It was nothing. Her seed was nothing compared to the size of her need. They were going to come and take her children and make them bond slaves to work off her debt. Her husband had died, left her in debt. There was no comparison of the seed to her need. It didn't make sense. She poured it out. She sowed it. She released what she had in order to get what she needed. Her obedience to a ridiculous instruction took her into overflow and put her in the oil business. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! When she had filled up all of those jars, she went to the man of God. She said, it's all done. They're all full. Hallelujah. What do we do now? He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, go and sell it all now. Glory to God. And pay off all your bills and live off the rest. She went into the oil business off of a little seed.
Amen.
Everybody say a seed is all you need. Yeah, okay. Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep for a drought. He was giving Peter a vision of abundance. Notice this. Jesus didn't say to Peter, oh, please, Peter, try one more time. See if you can catch something. No. He said emphatically, get out there in the deeper waters and let down your net for a net-breaking, boat-sinking blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what he was saying to Peter? He was saying to Peter, there's a blessing out there with your name on it, and it's waiting for you to get out there and let down your nets.
Amen.
Jesus was, I love this. Jesus was saying to Peter, there is a multitude of fish out there waiting for you to let down your net. They have an appointment to jump into your net.
Amen.
Now watch, I love this. They have an appointment to jump into your net, and if you don't get out there and let down your net, you're going to miss your appointment with your blessing.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss your appointment.
Don't miss your appointment.
Don't miss your appointment. Watch, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's what Mary told the servants when they were out of wine and they needed wine at the wedding. Whatsoever he said to you, do it. It may not make sense, but do it. It may be hard on the flesh, but do it. You may not like it, but do it. If I say, do it.
Do it.
Nike said, just do it.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Word of God, God gives you an instruction. Don't argue with God. Don't resist God.
Just do it.
Just do it. I heard about a man of God. He told the story. He said one time, he said, the Lord told him, give his house, sow his house into the life of another minister. And he said, this other minister, he said, he didn't really even like him. He didn't like the way he preached. He didn't like it. And he didn't like him. So there was no love lost between them. He said, I personally wouldn't have gone across the street to listen to him, and he wouldn't have come across the street to listen to me. But God spoke to me to sow our house into his life, his ministry. He said, so we did it. He said, and when we did, said that minister never even said thank you. He wasn't even thankful. He wasn't appreciative. He didn't even act like it meant anything to him.
No big deal. Okay. God said do it. Do it. Now.
What's coming up next?
Just do it.
See, we want to do something that has something good attached to it. You know, I mean, we expect that if you give, you sow your house, somebody's going to go, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I've been praying and seeking God. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be homeless. Thank you so much. But, you know, you don't expect somebody to say, okay, do it. But see, it wasn't obedience to him. It was obedience to him.
Amen. Amen.
See? And so, I know personally this minister now. He's got a beautiful home. He's got multiple rental properties. He drives anything he wants, whenever he wants.
He is a blessed man. Everybody say, blessed.
Blessed.
Say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
See, just do it. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. The Lord said for me to prophesy in this house that through your obedience, I don't know who I'm talking to, through your obedience, your wine, your water is going to turn into wine. Glory to God. Somebody's water, what is water? It's just enough. It's barely getting by. It's just what's necessary to sustain life. What is wine? It's more than enough. It's excess. It's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody's water is getting ready to turn into wine through your obedience. Somebody say, I'm going to obey. I'm tired of drinking water. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. Watch. When Peter obeyed, he went into supernatural overflow and abundance. When the widow obeyed, she went into supernatural abundance. When the servants obeyed, the water became wine. God is trying to shift somebody into a new anointing. A new anointing. How many are ready to go?
Yes.
How many are ready for that new anointing? Now watch. Don't argue with God. Peter started to argue with Jesus. And then finally, Peter spoke one word that changed everything. He said, nevertheless. Oh, I thank God for that. He said, nevertheless. What he was saying with that word is, he was saying, nevertheless, he was saying, it doesn't matter. He was saying, okay, I've been disappointed, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've fished all night, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. With that one word, oh, shikalabakaya. Oh, let me tell you something, saints. You've got to have a nevertheless in your vocabulary.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to learn to speak a new language. It's called nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
I'm going to give you a course in the new language of nevertheless. You better have a nevertheless in your vocabulary. Nevertheless says, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care if I tried it before and it didn't work. I don't care if it's going to cost me some pride. I don't care if it doesn't make any sense. Nevertheless, I will obey God. I will go through what I got to go through. I will sow the seed he tells me to sow. I will take that step. I will fill the water pots with water. I will sow. I will go. I will pray. I will fast. I will forgive. I will do whatever he tells me to do. Nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Somebody say, nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Why is that so important? Listen, friend. It is so important because that word is your bridge from nothing to too much.
Amen.
Look at somebody, tell them I'm crossing over on a nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Watch. I'm going to show you how important that is. That word will shift you out of the natural realm into the supernatural. I may see empty nets, nevertheless. I may feel pain in my body, nevertheless. My children may be acting crazier than ever, nevertheless. My bank account may be on life support, nevertheless. They just repossessed my car, nevertheless. I just lost my job, nevertheless. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, is anybody feeling an anointing, a nevertheless anointing? Listen, the devil may be attacking me on every side. Nevertheless, nevertheless what? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, because I know all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Nevertheless, somebody shout, nevertheless. Now watch this. This is powerful. When that word is spoken in faith, it notifies heaven, I'm ready to do whatever you instruct me to do. Secondly, it cripples hell. Wow. Why? Because when you declare that word in faith, you have just notified hell. It doesn't matter. That's why you need a nevertheless. Nevertheless. That's what Peter said, nevertheless, nevertheless. It doesn't matter. That's what, when I say nevertheless, I am saying to hell, it doesn't matter what you do. I'm saying to hell, it doesn't matter how much money I have or don't have. You're saying to hell, it doesn't matter how educated, uneducated you are. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what hell throws at you. It doesn't matter if it's sickness or disease. It doesn't matter if it's financial problems. It doesn't matter if the devil attacks your family. It's already settled. I'm committed. Nothing's going to change my mind. I've got a nevertheless on the inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say nevertheless. I'm trying to help somebody today. I want to get you over into abundance today. I got to get you over this bridge. You got to cross over on a nevertheless.
Yes.
Nevertheless, that word is prophetic. You say, prophetic? Why? Here's why. Because that word declares it is done before I even start. Oh, yeah. In other words, when you declare that word from your heart, you are releasing faith. Your faith is testifying. Oh, kashakata. Your faith is testifying. Your faith is crippling hell. We all remember Jesus' words on the cross. It is finished. Jesus said it is finished. But listen, friend, prophetically, it was finished in the garden when Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Let thy will be done. Do you understand what happened? He conquered the devil right there in that garden. Before he ever got to the Via Della Rosa, before the soldiers ever nailed him to the cross, it was already done. He crossed over on a nevertheless. If you got a nevertheless on the inside of you and you speak it out of your mouth, it is prophetic. You are declaring to hell, it doesn't matter what you throw at me, I'm going to make it. I'm going across. I'm walking into the blessing of God. I'm going to be everything He's called me to be.
Amen.
Somebody say nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
I'm almost done. Somebody needs to let the devil know. Just like Peter did. Nevertheless. Lord, he could have talked himself out of his blessing. He could have talked himself out of his miracle. He could have argued himself out of his breakthrough. But with one word, everything changed. When he said, nevertheless. Friend, listen, you got to have a nevertheless on the inside of you. I may not understand what I'm going through, nevertheless. I may be going through the worst battle of my life, nevertheless. The devil may be attacking me physically, mentally, emotionally,
financially, spiritually, and it may not make any sense. Nevertheless, everything around me may be going crazy. It may look like everybody's lost their minds. Nevertheless, Lord, I don't have enough money. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm not that educated. Nevertheless, you know, I told you about the other night, I was ministering about the treasure in earthen vessels. And you know, I could tell the Lord, I'm not qualified to do anything for you. Like I said the other night, I could tell the Lord, I'm just a bramble bush from Hooterville. I'm just a little bush from Hooterville, you know. I'm not no big name. I didn't come from no big town. I didn't come from a big place with a grand reputation. I just come from a little town called Hooterville. Well, not really, but you remember the Green Acres movie. It wasn't really Hooterville. But listen, God. All God needs is a bush. Glory to God. All He needs is your availability. All He needs from you is a nevertheless. Glory to God. Come on, stand to your feet today. I wish somebody would just stand to your feet and you would take your neighbor by the hand and I wish you'd just begin to prophesy. Prophesy to them nevertheless. Prophesy nevertheless. Come on, put a spirit of nevertheless. You need to encourage somebody today. You don't know what they're going through, but nevertheless. I don't know what you're going through, but nevertheless. I don't know what the devil's throwing at you, but nevertheless. We're going to make it. Hallelujah. We're going over. We're not just going to make it. We're going into abundance. We're going into overflow. We're going into supernatural increase and more than come on, pray. Come on, prophesy. Nevertheless, my friend, you're going to make it. Nevertheless, we're going over. Nevertheless, devil, we serve notice on you right now. It don't matter what you do. It don't matter what you try. It don't matter what you throw at me. I'm not going down. I'm not going under. I'm going over. I've got a nevertheless on the inside of me. I've got a vision of abundance. I got a vision of overflow. I got a vision of breakthrough. Woo! Nevertheless. Nevertheless. I will let down the nets. Nevertheless, I will obey. I will fill the water pots with water. I will take my little pot of oil and I will pour it into those empty vessels. Nevertheless, I will take this little cake that was for me and my son to eat and die. I'll give it to the prophet. Nevertheless, I'll obey. I'll forgive. I'll love. I'll obey. I'll go. I'll pray. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want you to shout this out when you say, Lord, I want your blessing.
I want your
abundance.
I want your anointing.
And today I declare, nevertheless, I notify heaven today. I'm ready to obey.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to speak.
I'm ready to
sow. I'm ready to be. Whatever you want me to be. And
Lord,
I thank you
for a
nevertheless. And
devil,
I put you on notice.
Nevertheless,
it doesn't matter
what you do
to me,
to my children,
to my family,
to my body,
to my finances.
It doesn't matter.
You're not going to change my mind.
You're not going to change my course.
I've got a nevertheless
on the inside of me.
It is settled.
I'm going over.
I'm moving into
my supernatural breakthrough
and abundance
and overflow
in Jesus' name.
Come on, put your hands together and give us a praise in His house.
Come on and just praise Him for a minute. I feel God.
God's breaking some stuff loose today. There's some stuff shaking loose. There's some stuff shaking off of me. There's some discouragement shaking loose. I don't care what you do, devil. I don't care what you say. I don't care what it looks like or feels like. I'm already determined. I'm going to cast my nets out. I'm already determined. I'm going to obey. I'm already determined. I can do what God told me to do. I can be what He said I can be. Hallelujah. 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 Nevertheless. Oh my. Can you understand the battle that was raging right there at that point? And the victory was won when Peter said, nevertheless. The Bible says in that garden, Jesus wrestled, prayed in agony until his sweat became great drops of blood. And it was all settled with a nevertheless. When he said, nevertheless, the devil couldn't do any more. See, the devil thought up until that point, I can turn him around from this. I can back him off. I can intimidate him. I can offer him another way. I can push him down. But as soon as those words escaped Jesus' lips out of his heart, the devil knew it's settled. It's all over with the crying. And because Jesus said, nevertheless, you're here today. We're saved. He went to the cross. He took your place. He died for your sins. What a Savior. And He did it with a nevertheless. Just lift your hands one more time. Lord, God, I thank You for not just for today, but Lord, that we would learn a new vocabulary. And Lord, that we would be like those three Hebrew children who looked that king in the face, whose face was full of fury. The furnace heated 7 times hotter. He said, I'm going to give you one more chance to deny your God and to worship the image that I've set up. And they looked that king in the face of fury and they said to him, O king, we're not even going to have to think about this. The God we serve is able to deliver us from your hand. Nevertheless, whatever happens, whether we go into that furnace or whether we don't, you better know we ain't worshiping that image. You better know it's already decided. We ain't bowing to no other God. Come on, just worship Him for just a moment. Lord, I thank You. Miracles are being released right now. I thank You, Lord, that supernatural breakthroughs are being released right now. I thank You, God, that seasons of nothing are turning into seasons of abundance. I thank You, God, that right now, Lord, somebody is getting a new vocabulary. Somebody, Lord, is getting a nevertheless. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Frank, Brother Al, would you help us with the sacred ones today? I appreciate that. Thank You, Jesus. I'm so glad. You know that Jesus, He never asked us to do something He hasn't done. He never asked you to go somewhere that He hasn't gone. He never asked you to bear a cross that He hasn't already borne. Nevertheless. Hallelujah. Peter went from nothing to too much. How many can believe for that? How many can believe that God can actually bring such blessings into your life in every area that is too much? You have to call for the other boats, the other partners, to come and help you. And not only
that it blessed them, but both of their boats were sitting low in the water because of the multitude of fish. Oh, see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you in such an abundant way that it flows over into somebody else's boat. It flows over into somebody else's life. He wants to heal you so good that when people that are sick get around you, they get healed. Yeah, I'm serious. He wants to heal your mind in such a way that when people get around you, their mind gets healed. Because yours as well. Listen, on the same night which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. You can go ahead and pass them out, please, if you would. He took bread. He broke the bread. He gave thanks over it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, the Bible says he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." That's a very powerful word right there. Because up until this time, the testament was in the blood of goats, bulls, calves. The Old Testament, that's what the Bible is divided into two categories, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Until this time, the blood that was offered up was the blood of bulls and calves and goats. But how many remember the Bible says very clearly in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and calves and goats could not make the offerer perfect. It could not cleanse their conscience. It could not take away their sin. In the old covenant, when they made an offering for sin, it rolled their sins ahead a year. It did never take away sin. Never remove sin. That's why it was such a powerful, powerful thing when John looked at Jesus. When he came to be baptized in the river of Jordan, John looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Not roll them ahead, not just cover them, make an atonement for them, but takes away the sins of the world. Friend, that's Jesus. Nobody but Jesus can take away your sin. That's why the songs today, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Hallelujah. Would you stand with me all over this building as you receive the cup and the bread today? He said, "This cup is the New Testament." Not the Old Testament that was in the blood of bulls and goats and pigeons and turtle doves. It could not take away sin, but this cup represents the New Testament. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." When we take this bread today, we take this cup, we are remembering what Jesus has done for us. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being able to lay down at night with a clean conscience and sleep, knowing that all is right between you and your Heavenly Father. Knowing that the devil doesn't have any hold on your life. He doesn't have any rights to you. He said, "As oft as you do this, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death till He come." Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Brother Kent, would you pray today over the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord
thank
Jesus,
you, Jesus.
Bless this, the flesh, Heavenly Father, that you were crucified. Jesus, we praise you and thank you, Jesus. And we never take lightly, Heavenly Father, what you have done for us. Help us now, Heavenly Father, to partake.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' holy name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Take the bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your healing power flow through this building today. Flow through every body, every single human body, Lord. and heal every ailment, every sickness. Jesus' name. Kedabasa. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Sister Sharon Lee, would you pray over the cup today?
Father, we are so grateful.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for this cup. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Take the cup.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, put your hand on your body. Put your hand on your body all over this building. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, Lord, that's attacked the bodies of your people on the authority of what you have finished, what you've done. You took those stripes upon your back. We can be healed. You were broken so that we can be made whole. Let every sickness and every disease, Lord, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Curse it. Curse it at the root in the name of Jesus. I speak to hearts to be healed. I speak to livers to be healed. I speak to kidneys to be healed. I speak, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to limbs to be healed, Lord. Blood circulation. Lord, I speak to those levels of sugar, Lord, in the blood, in Jesus' name, that they become normal, in Jesus' name. Let everything, Lord, that's out of order come into divine alignment in the name of Jesus. You paid the price, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you just lift your hand today and say, Lord,
I thank you
for your blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for everything that you've done. Now, Lord Jesus, let me be an example unto you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this service today. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that your people are leaving with a nevertheless on their inside and on their lips. I thank you, Lord, that we put heaven on notice and hell on notice today. That we cannot be intimidated, manipulated, or dominated. And we cannot be talked out of your blessings or your promises. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that covers every one of us. Keep your hand upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Then. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Praise.